short. And also, I've got some help tonight. So my dear friend Charity, who used to be among us many years ago, and when she was a lass. And what school were you at? What was it? Parley. She's a Parley girl. And then she went to Hong Kong to work with Jackie Pullinger. And she has got just a really, a bit amazing, but very helpful testimony on speaking in tongues and what that really means. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is desire. I've got a little picture here. Hopefully it'll come up. Of some happy men. There they are. At what coffee shop is that? Yeah, Costa Coffee. And I wonder whether how many times you've gone into Costa to buy a coffee or whatever you get there, and by the time you've finished, you've spent a little bit more. Maybe you've got a muffin or a croissant or something, because that showcase is there for one reason. It's positioned there to increase your desire. It's like, you know, at the checkout at Sainsbury's or Morrison's or wherever it is, they have all the chocolate, don't they? Just as you're going out. And you think you never planned to get chocolate, but you come back with some because your appetite was increased. And I want to really pray this evening just that God would help us, would give us more appetite. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, and that's our main chapter, and we're going to be looking at that at our tables in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, has an amazing verse. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit. And that word, follow after, means like really run after, really pursue love. And so the whole point of everything for us is love, isn't it? That we would love God, that we would love other people. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there to empower us to love people better. And as we have a little look at the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly speaking in tongues, I just want us to see this is a really good gift and something God has given to us that we can use, and it's wonderful. There are various gifts in the Bible. Like we've got a little thing there, the five, there it is, the five. You're really good at this. Oh, it's you, Luke. I thought it was Lucas there. You're really anticipating this. So in the Bible, there are three lists of all, of gifts, and this is by no means all the gifts. So here you've got the gifts of Christ, and it says that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. That was Jesus. And those are people, aren't they? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And among us, there will be people with those gifts sitting at every table, people who are particularly good at talking about Jesus and encouraging others to do that, teachers and whatever. But it's kind of like he gave people. And then there are the gifts of God in Romans 12. And some of these don't seem particularly supernatural, like encouraging, generosity, leading, being merciful, acts of mercy, helping at food bank, whatever it is that we do, just helping our neighbor when they're really in need. Those are our gifts that we, it's not just the spiritual ones. But tonight I wanted to focus on these, the gifts of the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it says there are 9 of them, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, various kinds of tongues, and interpreting tongues. And God has given us these things to as incredible tools that he wants us to use for his love. But we're going to focus on 1 Corinthians 14. I've got a picture here of a honey sandwich. And I had one in the fridge. I forgot to bring it. I was going to give it to somebody. But it's like 1 Corinthians 12 is about the gift of the Spirit in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14 is about the gift of tongues and prophecy. I'm not trying to be too technical here. But right in the middle, 1 Corinthians 13 is just a chapter which is all about love. And it's the honey in the sandwich. And Sarah is going to be sharing about that next Sunday. So don't miss that. But we're talking about the second end of the sandwich, 1 Corinthians 14, which is about tongues, prophecy, and meetings. And the verses are down here, and we're going to look at them at our tables in not very long a time. So this can be, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, you could be really confused. I remember a few years reading an article in a newspaper written by a bishop, and they'd been discussing tongues in this newspaper. And so he wrote in and he said, well, we all know what St. Paul thinks about tongues. And he quoted this verse here. I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Oh, okay, the matter's settled. We don't speak in tongues. But he hadn't read the verse before that, which says this. It says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul, as he was going around Europe and different places, preaching the gospel on his horse or on his ship or on feet, he was praying in tongues more than any of us. It was a gift that he really used. And then he says, but nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. And so he's talking about 2 different things here. And actually, I think there are 3 different things in 1 Corinthians 14. I just want to explain this to you. Otherwise, it can be a very confusing chapter. And you can read it for yourself. But if you understand this, it makes it a bit easier. The first gift of tongues is tongues as a prayer language. And Charity is going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. A prayer language that God gives us to speak to him. And then the other thing we find is tongues as a gift to bless other people. And if we speak in tongues in a meeting out loud, then it should always be with somebody interpreting that. And so it's a gift that comes with interpretation. And I'll just mention something, even this last week, where I heard that, and it was amazing. Thus it says, tongues, and this is the third thing, are a sign not for unbelievers, not for believers, but unbelievers. So it's also a sign for unbelievers. And on the day of Pentecost, it says, Acts 2:11, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, people from all over the world were there on the day of Pentecost. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, God gave them the gift of tongues, and they found themselves speaking in the languages of the people that were listening to them. And they said, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. So that was a sign to unbelievers. But mainly in 1 Corinthians 14, it's a personal thing and it's a church thing, which is why Paul talks about it differently. So, Charity, would you come and share your story?
Are you going to ask me some questions?
We've only got one mic, haven't we? Charity, what was your first experience of speaking in tongues?
Well, it was on the 134 bus, which is quite funny. I knew about speaking in tongues, I'd heard people speaking in tongues, but I thought that it was for people who were further on than me, or the people who were up there, you know, the leaders. And I just didn't think that it could be something that was for me. But then I read a book called Chasing the Dragon, and it was just like, wow, as I read the stories in that book, I was completely blown away by the fact that, wow, all of these prostitutes, addicts, whoever, all these broken and hurt people, they were known by God. There was nothing hidden. They were known by him, and they were being set free from various things. And the addicts, they were being prayed for using the gift of tongues. People were praying for them in tongues, and they were being set free. And I was like, oh, wow, I really want this. I really, really want this. And I was sat on the bus, and I just finished the book, sat on the bus thinking, oh, Lord, I really, really want this. I want this gift. And Holy Spirit, so kind. He reminded me of when I was a child, I used to be quite jealous of seeing the other kids speaking in other languages, you know, like some of the Greek Cypriots or Turkish or whatever. And I'd see them speaking in different languages, and I really wanted that. And so I used to pretend that I could speak another language. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of that, and that, well, I don't have to pretend. I could have this language. And so on the back of the bus, I just started making sounds, just making sounds. And there wasn't a kind of the angels or I felt a sense of feeling. I started making sounds. Just like when you see a baby, it sees the adults, the grown-ups or other kids around it, and it wants to make sounds, and it starts to go, babies do that. So it was the same thing. And so I started just doing that and making sounds. And, so it was fun. And at first I felt a bit embarrassed because I thought, it doesn't sound like I've heard other people speaking. So, is it right? But I just kept going with it. So, yeah, the 134 bus, as it was going past Camden Town, that was my first experience of speaking in tongues.
Fantastic. We haven't finished yet. So when you got out to Hong Kong, how was it helpful for you personally?
So when I arrived in Hong Kong, to be honest, it was a bit of a challenge because I didn't know the language, and I felt that everybody else seems to know what's going on, and I never do. So it could be that someone said something, I'd walk that way, and everybody else would be walking that way, and I'd be like, I always felt like I was a few steps behind whatever was being said or done, and just felt like I didn't know anything, and it all just felt a bit hard. To be honest, I almost felt like I was falling apart, and I didn't know how to be able to, I guess, articulate that to anyone. I really had never felt like that before. And so just one day I remember thinking, well, Lord, we're praying for these guys to come off drugs using the gift of tongues, praying in tongues. So if it can help them, surely it should be able to help me. And so I made a decision that in the morning when I woke up, and I'd wake up a little bit earlier, I just lie in bed and for 5 minutes just pray in tongues, because I didn't know what else to do. I really just didn't know what else to do. And so, I just pray in tongues, and the Lord in his kindness, it built me up. Praying in tongues, it built me up. And so over time, things changed, and 19 years later, I'm still there. So about to go on, but yeah.
Thanks. And how was this gift of tongues used, particularly, I know Jackie Pullinger's ministry, particularly to help the addicts come off their addictions?
Okay. Sure, thank you. We used to do something called the addicts meeting. And what would happen is that you'd get these addicts coming off the street, and they'd be off their heads on whatever drugs it was that they'd taken. The word is wume. But they would believe in Jesus, and they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and they'd be speaking in tongues. You would see these addicts, just speaking in tongues. They're like this, but they're speaking in tongues. It was quite amazing. Because they didn't try to get all theological about it. It was, something can help me. And so they pray in tongues, and it was amazing, because then Jackie would do a Bible story with them, just one of the Gospels, and they would get things in the Holy Spirit. It'd be like, really amazing. And when the guys come into the house, or women, we, the helpers, and also the household who were already living there, we take it in turns to look after the newest person, the new man or the new woman or the new boy or girl. And we'd be praying in tongues because, with addicts, with anyone where we're hurt, often it's been an accumulation of stuff, lots of hurts and that. It's all kind of in there. And it's not like you even know how to be able to articulate it sometimes. And so, as you're praying for people, well, the Lord knows what it is that's got them there in the first place. It's spirit to spirit. You want their spirit to connect to the Lord. And so just talking to people, why are you doing that? You don't need drugs, da, da, da. It might be a tiny bit helpful, but actually it's the spirit. So you're connecting their spirit, encouraging them to connect with the Lord, spirit to spirit. And so we just pray with them over in tongues, because the Lord knows what it is that they need. We don't know what it is that's got them there. So just praying in the spirit, and the Lord will work things out in the spirit. It is mystery, but it's fun. It's wonderful. But, working with addicts is only one small part of what we do. And I used to look after a kids group. I was doing the 5 to 7, it was 5 to 8, I can't remember, group. And one day, one of the mums told me about her daughter struggling to sleep at night, that she was having nightmares and she couldn't sleep, and they'd been praying, but nothing was working, and nightlight, it was just, yeah. So Mama told me and said, you know, please, can you remember to pray for her? So I used to pray when I was at home, just be praying for her. And if I saw her at the kids group, I'd ask her about it. But, you know, she didn't always want to talk about it. Yeah, 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 I can't sleep. But didn't want it to be made a big deal about. So I was praying, Mum was praying, and nothing was changing. And quite a bit of time went by, and still she was struggling with sleeping. And so one day I was at home, and I was praying for her, and I just heard the Holy Spirit say, special language. And I thought, huh? What, as in speaking in tongues? And that's what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying. And I thought, well, how do I talk to a child, you know, using the word speaking in tongues? It feels very grown-up language. The Cantonese is Fong in Kato. And I was like, well, don't know how I'd do that. But the Holy Spirit just said about telling her about this special language that she could have. So when I next saw her and I asked her about how her sleeping was, and she said, yeah, yeah, I can't sleep, and left it at that, I said, well, you know, there is this special language that you can ask the Lord for, and he delights to give. He really wants to give us this, and you can ask him for it, and I think it would help you. And it's a secret language, so nobody else will be able to understand what you say. So not me, not your mum, not your dad. You wouldn't even be able to understand what you're saying. But God knows. He knows what it is that you're saying. He knows. And it really captured her imagination that I could have this secret language that no one else would understand. You wouldn't understand. No, I wouldn't understand. So she was like, okay. I prayed with her to receive the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I said, I'm going to speak in my tongue. You're not going to be able to understand it. I won't understand it, but I'm going to speak. Your language will not be the same as mine. Okay, so I started speaking in tongues, and she's looking. And then I said, well, if you like, you can go and stand over there, because I could see she, you know, she felt a little bit shy. And I said, you can stand over there if you like. And she was like, yeah. So she went over to the side and she started praying in tongues. And I thought, oh, okay. So after the kids group, I told her mum, I knew the family quite well, so I knew that they wouldn't be like, what, speaking in tongues? So I told mum, and mum was like, oh. And so it's like, yeah, you go, you know, practice it with her, go do it. And so they did at home, and they prayed also at night in tongues. And after that, no more problem. She was able to sleep. She's a teenager now. And so it was like, wow, thank you, Lord. And then another quick story was, I was at home group, one of the small groups one time, and I had a tongue. In the meeting, we'd been worshipping, and then I had a tongue. So I spoke it out in the meeting, a few other people there. And someone had the interpretation, and then they spoke it out. But at the end of the meeting, a lady came over to me, and she just started coming along when she was still a bit suspicious of everything. And her husband was in prison, and she had a small child. You know, there was a lot of things going on for her. But, you know, you Christians and stuff. But she, you know, she'd been started coming along to the home group. But she said to me, what she heard when I spoke that tongue, and I have no idea what language it was. She said she heard, you are welcome. As in the Lord was welcoming her. So that was what she heard. You are welcome. And that's so special. And she's still with us. That's what she heard, that you are welcome. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks, Charity. Question.
Yeah. It's Jackie, right? Charity, sorry. Yeah, Jackie's your colleague. Yeah, that's it. What was the prompting that you felt or heard when you knew you had a tongue? Like, Could you explain that, the prompting part, like when you knew that you had the talent?
When you say the prompt, because I'd really just wanted to have this. I think that was it. Is that what you mean? What was the prompting? And I just felt a tongue just kind of, yeah, it was just some, it was just, yeah, it was there, and it was just a sense that to speak it out, at that moment. Yeah. I don't know if that's helpful, but it was just this sense that I've got something, it's a tongue, go for it and speak it out, in the meeting.
Thanks, Charity. The next point I was going to make, Daniel, was last week, I was at a conference, and, it was really for people that are working with people who've been in prison and, food banks and all sorts of things that were really on the edge of society. At the end, we had a worship time, and somebody got up and they gave a message in tongues, and it went on for 2 or 3 minutes, and it was really beautiful. There was something really beautiful about it that kind of captured us. And knowing something about this, I know that normally if somebody does that, there's going to be an interpretation by the Holy Spirit. And so then another man somewhere in the meeting came up and he said, I don't know whether you understand this, he said, but sometimes somebody gives a message in another language and someone has the interpretation, and I feel that I have the interpretation. So, and he started to pray a beautiful prayer about the generosity of God. And I'll never forget that. But actually, because in a sense, it was like the gift of tongue prepared us for that. And you knew this was going to be something special. And when the message came, it came with extra weight. It was like, it's almost the same as prophecy, but different. And it was a very powerful thing. So, very, very quickly, because we're going to split up into groups in a second, I just want to just run through these verses really very quickly, just so you can understand what Charity has said, that this is in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians 14:2, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. And I was talking earlier with somebody about how when you pray in tongues, it's really important that you know that you are talking to God. You're not doing some weird thing. I am talking to God. And then it says in the next verse, because nobody understands him. And that's what our natural person doesn't really like that. We like to be in control, don't we? But this actually bypasses our understanding. No one understands him. He utters mysteries. And that's a word that Charity used, in the Spirit or by the Spirit. And then it says, the one who speaks in a tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:4, builds himself up. So actually, when you're feeling weak and tired spiritually, this week, actually, if I'm going to talk about this, and I felt led to talk about this tonight, I need to really do this. So I spent I've had quite a lot of walks between, events and whatever. And I was up in Derby. I was down by the river in the morning and have had time just to speak in tongues. And I found it amazing. I found that my spirit, it was like regenerated. And so it really does build you up. It's such a great thing to do. And the more you do it, the better it gets. And the more you want to. It's like you're starting a spiritual engine. And then 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. We've all got minds, haven't we? But some people in the world don't believe we've got spirits. But the spirit part is the bit inside us that communicates with God. And Charity was said that what Jackie Pullinger wanted with these drug addicts was that they, in order to get them off their addictions, that their spirit would communicate with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's wonderful. There's a verse in Proverbs somewhere where it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his being. So our spirit inside us is much more conscious of who we really are. And sometimes in speaking in tongues, we're praying to God about things, even with ourselves, that we don't understand. And that's why often it's a freeing thing. It's a liberating thing. But my mind, I can't work it out. My mind is unfruitful. So, says Paul, I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind. So praying in tongues is called praying with your spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind. There are some things that it's not right to speak in tongues about. Say you want to confess your need to God. You want to tell God you really love him. You want to explain a problem that you're going through. Then you have to do that in English, don't you? Or whatever language you've got. But praying in tongues is another tool in the box. And then it says, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the spirit. Now that doesn't mean we have to pray in tongues all the time, because the next verse says, with every kind of prayer and petition. There's lots of ways of praying, but speaking in tongues is a very powerful one. And then there's singing in the spirit. I remember when we were in at a mission conference, and Luke and Sarah were there too, and Sarah was leading the worship, and she gave she sang a message in tongues, which was very beautiful. And then somebody else who was musical had the interpretation in song, and so sang an unplanned, beautiful song from God. The place was electrified by it. It was just God was bringing something very special. And we can't invent these things, and we don't have to try, but these are the things that God has for us. So we're going to just after the break, I want to talk about very quickly, how can we be filled with the Spirit and how can we speak in tongues? But you've got these questions on your table. And what it is at the bottom half, you've got 1 Corinthians 14 and a few verses there. You could read them out if you want or read them around the table. And then there are just three questions to ask. One is to read the passage and say, which are the two kinds of speaking of tongues in this passage? And then the second question is underlined, if somebody's got a pen, which verses in this passage are speaking about tongues in a personal prayer language rather than the gift with interpretation? And then the last question is, what happens when we speak in tongues? And then if you want another one, discuss what is your experience of speaking in tongues. And that your experience could actually be somebody else's experience. You may never have spoken in tongues, but you've heard about it, or you heard somebody speak in tongues and you thought it was really weird. But whatever it is, just maybe talk amongst yourselves about what your experience was, and then we'll come back together after that. What do we got, 10 minutes? 10 minutes. It'd be good to move on. Did anybody actually finish all the questions and have a little discussion? No, we never give enough time to this one, do we? So to kind of summarize, maybe we could go around each table, could say something that the other table hasn't. I know that this table got sick, so I'll ask them last. So table number one over there, looks like the big, quite a nice young average age over there. What's your first thing over there? Someone shouted out. Kelechi, I'll bring this round.
What's your first thing? I low-key forgot what I said.
Okay, somebody else, please.
It's more of like a general thing, but me and the table, we discussed like when you're speaking in tongues, or if you have been like trying and you have, you know, got an opportunity to speak in tongues, you might not know what you're saying. And the thing about like the human mind is like, if you don't know what you're, like what you said before, if you're not in control of what you're saying or what you're doing and you don't know what is going on, you tend to feel like something's in danger. Like you don't know if you're offending God, you don't know if you're... Do you know what I mean? So I would say like once, like especially with me, when I was speaking in tongues in New Day, I was kind of like in a flow state. And at first I was kind of not uneasy, but I was like, I didn't know what I was saying. And because of that, I was like, you know what? Let me just accept it. Let me just keep going with the flow. I kept on praying. And then I entered this flow state where it was like everything was seamless and smooth. And I really felt like the spirit taking over. It wasn't just me like consciously thinking, yeah, I'm praying in tongues. It was literally just like there was nothing in my mind. It was just me and God throughout the whole like seminar. And once you accept that, you know what, whether this is where it is, I mean, you just got to accept it is where it is with God, and he will actually intercede for you, and his spirit is there to do that. So you just got to trust it.
That's really helpful, isn't it? Really helpful. It says, you know, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And there's a degree where we have to use faith because we can't understand it. And Munya was saying, you know, that when he started, it seemed a bit weird. But then the more you went on, the more it felt kind of you and God. Anything on this table?
Yeah, just generally. Okay, so... Can I say some of the five things that... Okay. So, yeah, I guess the first one we have is when you are speaking in tongues as a personal prayer language is to build up himself. And we didn't actually say this, but I guess I was thinking that that's similar to what Auntie Charity was saying when she first went to Hong Kong and she didn't know, you know, what was really going on. She felt a little bit confused, maybe a bit lost. And I guess that's kind of what you use to build up yourself. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But we didn't actually say that.
So that one of building herself up like Charity in that situation where she didn't know what to do, so she just spoke in tongues and she was built up. Who's going to do this table?
One of the things we spoke about was it's a language of worship. My experience in kind of even when I've said a tongue out, it may be in like within a church context or corporately, actually it's not about me. Like the language is not for me. The language is to bless God and to bless others. And so normally I might be feeling a sense of like just awe for God, and it just, I can't articulate it in my own words. So then I'm articulating in a way through the Holy Spirit, and that's the tongue, and then someone else will articulate it and pray out whenever I've done it in a prayer. But it's not about them, it's not about us, it's lifting our eyes to God and a prayer about who God is and what he's done. So it's actually an act of worship, and in that you have to surrender. And like when you were saying, it's not it's a sense of like God is God, there's a mystery to it, and there's a trust and a faith that you need to have to even engage with it. If you make it about ourselves, then you're not going to get anywhere. But actually, if there's a sense of surrendering and being before God and be like, this is something about you, this is your Holy Spirit, this is not something that needs to be fitted into a human box, this is something about God and who you are, and then you articulate it through that language, and it's an overflow of your heart. That's what we chatted about.
Yeah, that's great. There's different things here, isn't there? It's praying to God. It's building ourselves up. It's praising God. Very quickly then, this table. Another thing that speaking tongues is, what did you come up with? Anyone round? Let's start round this end of the table. Anybody want to just say? Time's going by. Edward, go on.
It's for your spirit, so yeah. So your spirit's sort of praying to God, and it's sort of more like personal, sort of really. And you're not really thinking; you're just going with it. You're just in the presence of God, and just yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, and just one thing on here. There was a kind of a different one that you came up with at the end, Alan, wasn't there? Beginning with TH. I was on this table.
Praising God, thanking God.
Yeah, it talks about giving thanks by my spirit. So that's brilliant, isn't it? So we're going to end very quickly. Sarah, do you want to just go on the keyboards or something? Yeah? Play quietly. I just wanted to answer this question. Can every Christian have the gift of tongues? I don't know if you got that, Luke, there. Can every Christian have the gift of tongues? What do you think? Yes, I think so. Why? Because we all have a spirit, don't we? And God wants our spirit to speak to him. And we see that the first time it happened on the day of Pentecost, where it says, here we are, Acts 2, Pentecost in Jerusalem, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a connection here with being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Usually, the first time they spoke in tongues was they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and they were filled with him. So this is not disconnected to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a way of being and going on being filled, but being first filled. And tonight we can pray with anybody who would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit the first time. Or you can just pray where you are in a moment when we worship. And then the next place was in Caesarea in Cornelius's house. And this is Peter's preaching. See, it happens differently every time. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. So Peter couldn't even finish his sermon, and the Holy Spirit fell on the congregation. That word fell is the same word that's used when the prodigal son's father falls on his son and puts his arms around him. And it's a sense of God just coming and putting his arms around us. He fell on them, and they were speaking in tongues. And then the last one I wanted to mention is Acts 19, verse 6, when Paul goes to a place called Ephesus. And when Paul had, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said to him, "Well, we've believed in Jesus, but we never... What's this Holy Spirit thing? We didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit." And then it says, "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." So let's just take a little time before God, shall we? Should we just stand up? Should we just stand up? Wonder whether we could sing "Spirit of the Living God," Sarah. Would that be all right? I know the words. I don't know whether you know the words. Have you got the words there, Luke? "Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me." And as we're singing this, let's just ask... Let's just pray. If there's anybody here today, we did this morning in the meeting, and quite a number of people actually came forward and said, "Could you pray for me?" And maybe you've never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have done, you feel you're empty now, and you'd like a refill. Or maybe you feel you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you've never spoken in tongues, then it would be great to take this opportunity. It doesn't have to be now. You can go away like my wife did at the end of the meeting and go and pray in your bedroom. But God wants to fill us, and he wants us to have this gift. So we could just remember that, couldn't we? So as we're singing this song, let's pray it.
As we've been talking about the gift of tongues, you just kind of, I desire that, I long to know it. You've never spoken in the gift of tongues. Feel free to put your hand up. Then someone can come and just pray with you. Such a beautiful gift. We don't need to rush away. We can, Sarah and the band can continue just to play, but I think this is such a moment to draw near to God in our own hearts. I love Kelechi's picture at the start. It's only when we look back we see that God is carrying us. It's a moment to draw near to God, to ask him, to desire the gifts, and he would lead us in a more excellent way. So maybe if you're here and you'd love someone to come and pray, if you feel free to pop your hand in the air, Nick and the guys can get around you. Just a chance to respond to the Lord together.
I just thought, we're family here tonight, aren't we? And we're all together. Many of us speak in tongues. So it will be good. I think it would be good just those that do speak in tongues, let's just have a little time just quietly speaking in tongues, speaking with our spirits to God. It's actually, Paul advises us, this isn't so great when there's an unbeliever who thinks you're all crazy, but I've talked about it, so we know that's not true. But why don't we just spend just a moment just quietly speaking to us? If you don't worry about it. But at least you'll hear what it's like. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you, as Luke said, then you could just put your hand up. So as Sarah just continues to play, just for a moment, maybe we could just do that.
As we were just quietly praying, I felt the Lord speak the words, rivers of living waters. And I felt that this gift and just generally growing in the Spirit, the Lord wants to fill us with rivers of living waters, that he wants to have his rivers pour into us so that we can bring water to others.
I saw a picture of a boiler. And I've got a white boiler in my bedroom, and it's got a little light at the bottom. And when the flame is in that little window, if I turn the hot tap on, poof, the boiler bursts into life and the hot water comes through the taps. Or if I flick the other switch, all the heaters will come on in the radiators in the house and the whole house is warm. And I just feel that speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, all these things, it's the pilot light. And if you really go for God, just ask him, and that he will set you on fire and the whole house will be hot. So all of you will be built up, like it says in the verse, but you will be very effective for the lost. Father God, I just ask that you give all of us courage. It sounds very weird, sort of. It sounds like we're making up a funny little language. It doesn't even make sense. It's not French. It's not German. It doesn't sound proper. And sometimes we've only got a few words. But Lord God, you've given it to us, so we're going to trust you. And Father, help us to just go for it. Help us to lie in bed tonight and go for it. Just make it up and say, God, fill my mouth with your words and set the pilot light going, Lord, in our lives so that we can be really effective in our lives for our own sake and for the sake of the lost. Amen.
I just had a sense of where sometimes we get so frightened, we think, why would God give us something we think we're not good enough or it's for other people? But that he is a good, good father, and we don't need to be afraid that, you know, he's going to punish us or we're not going to be able to do it like someone else. That, oh, you think, come on. Just like when a small child is maybe learning how to ride a bike and it's got the safety wheels on the bike, and that actually it's now safe now to start taking off those safety wheels to move forward, and you'll just be able to go for it. So so Lord, where anyone is really frightened and thinks that, you know, oh, how could I possibly have it, we know that that is a lie of the enemy. And so for anyone here who feels like that, I bless them to hear your words of truth, that you are a good, good father who delights to give good gifts to his children, and that in you they are safe and in you they have life. So we bless anyone here who's afraid to take hold of your hand and go in your name, Lord Jesus.
Just wonder, as this Sarah can play a bit louder, but just begin to pray. Maybe you speak English, maybe you speak another language, maybe you speak a gift of tongues, but I wonder if we could just raise up a prayer of praise in this room. Give him thanks, the Lord. And you might find yourself, if you do have the gift of tongues, wanting to start speaking in that. But I think there's a beautiful thing about the different languages. I see different languages that I know are spoken in this room, not just English, not just tongues, but many other languages. I wonder if we could just begin to raise up a prayer of thanks to God.